Thank you for joining me today. And yesterday, we continued our ongoing discussion about the nature of sin. Remember, we're answering the question, what is sin? And we are doing this because John the Baptist testifies about Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Now, we have established that sin comes from hell. Satan is the origin of sin. And yet, both Satan and Adam and Eve, and subsequently all humans, you and I included, are held accountable by God for our own sin. You can read about this in the Bible, beginning in Genesis chapter 3. And there always seems to emerge from this reality a big question about the origin of sin that people ask. It most often comes across as an accusation against God, and it's this. Forget about Satan being responsible and accountable for sin, and man and woman being responsible and accountable for sin. Isn't God really the one who should take responsibility and be held accountable for sin? After all, didn't God create the possibility of sin, and God did put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden in the first place? As a pastor and someone who shares my faith in God with others regularly, I get this question all the time. It's a popular thought, and so we're dealing with it now. Maybe you've heard it. Yesterday, I told you that I'm going to give you a couple of answers to this question and/or accusation. And the first answer is that sin never comes from God. God is never the source of sin. Sin does not come from God. Today, I want to prove this to you from the Bible. Now, keep in mind, these are only some passages of Scripture that I have chosen. The Bible repeatedly and with clarity tells us that God is never responsible nor held accountable for sin, because sin doesn't come from God. As I told you yesterday, if you are able to open your Bible now, please do so, and jot down these texts and read along with me. Now, if you've got your hand, say, on the steering wheel right now, and obviously you cannot read along, just listen. But so that you can read these texts later on, I've left them all on the God Is social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. God Is, W-E-Z-E, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. God Is, W-E-Z-E. Or you can write me an email today and I'll send these to you. mark@markaswallow.com. All of the contact information will be repeated at the end today. Now let's start in Job chapter 34 and verse 10. Job 34:10 says, "Therefore listen to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God to do wickedness and from the Almighty to do wrong." Far be it from God to do wickedness, to do wrong, meaning God is not wicked and God does not do wrong. He is so far removed from wickedness and wrong. Do you get that? Job 34:10. In fact, God hates, God despises sin. Listen to Psalm chapter 5 and verse 4. "For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you." I'll read that again. It's so true. "For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you." That's Psalm 5, verse 4. God hates and despises sin to the point where God's wrath, his righteous and justified anger, is with people who sin. Yes, the Bible teaches that God is angry with sinners who reject Jesus Christ as the only one who could save them from their sin. To be clear, God is no longer angry with genuine Christ followers because we have cast ourselves on the mercy of God and believed in his Son Jesus for the forgiveness of our sin. We put our faith in Christ, and God removes sin from us. God forgives our sin, and God forgets our confessed sin, so that God's wrath, God's righteous and justified anger, is no longer with the Christian. But for the person who's not following Christ, listen to Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." Why is the wrath of God on ungodly and unrighteous persons? The righteous and justified anger of God is on them because these men and women are sinners, and God hates sin. Therefore, of course, sin is not from God. To quote Herman Bavinck, again, God is never the agent of sin, only creatures are. God is never the agent of sin. Now, just so that you do not think I'm proof-texting the Bible, that is, picking out some obscure and minor passage to tell you that God despises sin such that he is angry with the sinner every day, listen to John 3 and verse 36. Now, we love to quote John 3:16, as well we should. But when is the last time you heard John 3:36? He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now that's a remarkable statement, again by John the Baptist. My purpose today is not to say more about John 3:36, but rather to just get that on your mind. This is my point. Given that God hates sin, he therefore cannot be the originator of it. His absolute hatred of sin deeply affects how God relates to you and I. We need a remedy for sin before we have a right, good, satisfying relationship with Almighty God, and his remedy that he himself gives us is Jesus. That is why Jesus Christ is so important, my friends. He is the way to God. God deals with sin by taking it away, and once he takes it away, then and only then are we in good standing with God. Okay, obviously much more can be said and must be said about this, but I still see that clock. So let's move on to a third biblical proof that sin is not from God. God prohibits sin in God's law. For this, take up the Bible and read two chapters. In the Old Testament, read Exodus chapter 20, and then read Deuteronomy 5. Most of you will immediately recognize these as the Ten Commandments. That is God's law. Every one of them deals with sin, and do not miss how anti-sin, how against sin God is. God really does loathe sin. Furthermore, God does not only forbid the outward act of sin, he takes it even deeper. God prohibits sin in the conscience of every human person. This is Romans chapter 2 and verse 15. They show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness. Every person alive has a conscience. Every person alive has a heart. And on that heart, God writes his law. And then the conscience bears witness to God's law, reminds us of God's law, and convicts us when we break God's law. That's why everyone does have an eternal sense of right and wrong, an internal sense of right and wrong. We get that from God. Now, people who do not honor God or who do not worship and obey God will hardly ever admit to this. But you can politely ask them sometime, then why do you keep the laws of, say, this country if you do not believe in a moral law? See what he or she says. There is moral law, and moral law comes from God. The only reason it is illegal to murder someone is because God says murder is sin. Governments simply took that and adopted it into civil law. That's why people who do not honor God still do not murder. Their conscience cries out to them, "Put down that gun, knife, and poison pill." Without God's moral law, trust me, we'd have a lot more murders. And I am only using murder as an example, so do not get hung up on the example. Every time I have said the word murder, insert the word there for any sin. People know sin is wrong. They have an internal sense of right and wrong. Yet they spurn their conscience. They silence their conscience. They put it on mute, and they sin anyway. So the inward sin is reflected in the outward sin. Sin starts in the heart of a person and then shows up on the outside of a person. And God hates sin so much that he prohibits it on the inside and on the outside of every man and woman. Now you might think or say, well, we're really stuck then, God is not the originator of sin. God hates sin. But you're saying we're all sinners, and you're telling us that God's wrath, his justified anger, abides with us. Yes. But I must end today with this. God does something magnificent about sin. And I've spoken about this already today. God rescues people from sin and makes us holy, eventually perfect, through the death and resurrection of his only Son, Jesus Christ. God deals sin a mighty and eternal death blow. He atones for our sin. Let's go back to the book of Romans, and this time, chapter 6 and verse 23. This is Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, how wonderful and how marvelous. Our payment for sin is death. But look what God does about sin. He gives us the free gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin, what was going to cost us our very lives, is defeated by grace, which is free. No payment needed anymore, because Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected. He was brought back to life for our eternal and everlasting life in heaven, where there is no more sin. Wow, what a day. What a way to end with such great news. This is remarkable, isn't it? And so I invite you to join me tomorrow for more great news. Yes, even more great news as we get together for God is.